So the question today is, using the Meraglim as a case in point, since Hashem knew that the Meraglim were going to mess up, who knows what the result is going to be, allow for these things to happen. The broader question is really, is it possible that man has free choice if God knows what the result is going to be? Some of the things that we need to do in examining the question is to recognize, number one, that the sentence, God knows, or God doesn't know, or use the word knowing with God, is attributing to God a faculty. Knowing is a discrete act or a discrete process. And God is far beyond any discrete process. So we need to know that anytime we're talking about any specific process which we ascribe to God, we need to know that those things don't really belong to Him. Those are things that He has knowledge, knowing. For all of its exalted status is as distant from God as the most physical thing in the world. They're equally, because God is infinite, and anything which is not of God is therefore, in a certain sense, equally distant from Him. The Rambam, who tries to help us understand the fact that God's knowledge is different, says that we have no way of really thinking about the way God thinks. And he says that God is the knower, He is the known, and the knowledge. And the Kabbalists, very prominent amongst them is the Maharal, says that that very statement itself is a statement that there's no way for us to absorb that kind of a concept, and that transcends our knowledge. But Maharal says that is ascribing to God certain fixed qualities, namely that He is the knower and the known and the knowledge, and that God is way beyond even that, and that represents a stage in creation where he says that does come a certain phase of creation where there is such a thing as knowledge, and at that first place where knowledge appears, God is the knower and the known and the knowledge, but he says that that's already after. So really God is above knowledge, and he's above time and space, and you can't say what was God doing before or God knows before, because those words don't apply to him. So that's one qualification in addressing this question. But we need to think of it, recognizing that the only reason that it is a question is because we're thinking about it with our heads, and our heads, we can't wrap our heads around it. Now, one way of dealing with the question is if we can appreciate the following, and we've used this metaphor before. It's really not a great metaphor, but it's just an approach. And that's when this guy, the Russian chess champion, was named Karpov. Anyway, so he was playing this computer, Big Blue. So he finally lost the Big Blue, but it was a big blow. Victory was a big blow to him. Now, Big Blue, there was nothing in Big Blue that didn't belong to man. Conceptually, Big Blue was programmed to deal with any possibility. In other words, no matter what this guy would do, Karpov, Big Blue was poised to respond in a way which would bring victory to Big Blue. Now, Big Blue, if you pull the plug on Big Blue, you can't do borscht. Big Blue needs some source of energy. So that source of energy, we look at that source of energy as being something which really has nothing. There's nothing in that source of energy other than being energy which sustains all the information that has been programmed to Big Blue. But if we could understand that source of energy which sustains a Big Blue is really where all the information came from in the first place. And even though we know that there's no way that if we were to look in the energy that we could find that information, because it's in the source, it's not articulated, there's nothing, but so we would understand that while Big Blue is making all of these moves in response to Karpov's moves, all of which comes from the source, that the source really never changes, because the source has foreseen every possible move and every possible permutation, every possible response, and it's provided so that at the end of this, Big Blue wins. So, in a certain stage of development, in a certain phase of creation, there is an expression of wisdom in which God has invested a response to every possible thing that mankind can do. And what to do if there's a certain person by the name of Howard Koch who's going to stand up in the year 5767 and say a certain prayer with a heartfelt quality or say a certain prayer with not a heartfelt quality. Every variable, every possible variant in life has been invested in. Now God sustains that. God is the neshama of all of that, and it's only there because God has placed it there. So everything ultimately goes back to God. But God has provided for a world in which there could be choice and there would be a response to choice. In this creation of Chachma at that level, there is the certitude that no matter what mankind does, that the black king will be checkmated. So it's all moving in that direction. And sometimes it moves in that direction in ways which we are intelligible to us and discernible in other, and sometimes it's taking a route that goes way over our capacity to understand where God is going. Why, you know, why did God take the queen off? Why did he allow the black players to take the queen off? Why did he allow them to get the rook or whatever? There is in the development of creation, there is a place where wisdom stands above time. While it's invested with all of the responses, it can see the choices that man makes from a place which has nothing at all to do with past, present, and future. Somebody once said that you come into a theater to watch a movie. So at the beginning of the movie, you have no idea where these events are going. You have no idea whether a person is going to make one choice as opposed to another choice and what they're going to do. And finally, at the end of the movie, you know more or less that you have a good memory, what people are going to say, what people are going to do. But you know that not because when you started watching it you knew, but you now know it because you watched it. So if you were to watch the movie again, you could say, oh, now he's going to say this, and now he's going to do this. And then somebody says, well, how do you know that? So you'd say, well, because I saw him do it. But not because before you saw him do it, you knew that he was going to do it. The reason that you know is because you saw him do it. What we're saying is that there is a place from which knowledge sees man's choice without influencing him. At that particular place of knowledge, standing above time, it knows it because it's at that place where time isn't time. Knowledge knows it not because it influenced it, but because it's at that place in time, which is not time. It sees what man has chosen rather than. So man has complete freedom to make choices, which is not influenced by the fact that God knows. First of all, because God knows in a way which is really a kind of knowledge that isn't God, and then to the extent that it belongs, it's a knowledge which we can't comprehend. It's a knowledge which occupies a realm that stands above time and space that we can't think about. So when God speaks to Moshe and says, you send, only I'm not telling you to send because I know the way this thing's going to turn out. That statement does not influence the fact that the Meraglim could have chosen to do whatever they want.
I don't believe it.
Well, B.F. Skinner, because of his psychic determinism, suggests that if you knew everything there was to know about a person, then you could predict absolutely what he would do. It's a position which has been basically dismissed by virtually all of half a century of psychologists. It's not just the complexity of human experience that makes it impossible to predict. It is that there is man really is free. At any point in time, a person could stop and say to himself, can I do now whatever I want? And they will discern within themselves the absolute freedom to make any choice they want. Knowing that we do not know.